road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to The Drive. Thanks for listening today. I appreciate all the feedback that you've given. I enjoy that. It tells me that you're listening, that you're getting something meaningful about it, and that it's been beneficial to you. And that's the goal, is to give you 15 minutes where you can have something to think on, something to maybe learn about, something to consider changing in your teaching profession, just something to help you be a better teacher and educator. So thanks for listening, and I know your schedules are busy. Today I wanted to talk to you about change, which is really, really hard, and that's something right now that weighs on me significantly, this idea of change. As teachers, we become such creatures of habit. We do things because we've always done them. You work with somebody, I know, who may be a great teacher, but has that worksheet from 1980 with the purple ink on it, and the paper's still a little damp, and it's got a smell, you know, and you're not sure what it is. And for some of you newer teachers, that was a Ditto machine, and it used, like, wet ink to help create these copies that you could do your worksheet on. And originally, I mean, when the teacher would just print them and hand them out, they were damp. And if you're an older, wiser teacher, you've used that. And I came in right after those were basically gone, but I still remember smelling the worksheet. And so how does that come into our conversation on change? It comes in like this. If you're doing something that you've always done, and you're still doing it, have you truly asked yourself why? Now, I'm not saying you've got this dynamic lesson that you teach, that you've taught for years and years, and it is a great lesson, and it's got great resources, and it does great things, and the kids respond in amazing ways. I'm not saying ditch that. I'm just saying, have you truly questioned why you haven't updated it? Have you truly questioned why you haven't tweaked it? Have you really thought about the things that go into that lesson in this day and age? When I first started teaching was in the mid to late 90s. I think 1997 was my first year of teaching, and the landscape of education has changed so much. When I first taught, there wasn't this emphasis on standardized testing. I mean, we had testing, but not to the extraordinary lengths that we go to now to test people. And I had chalkboards with white chalk, and I could check out in an overhead machine from the library that had the rolling film on it. So again, if you're a newer teacher and I say overhead with rolling film, you have no idea. But a more seasoned veteran will remember that ink would just get on the side of your hand and be there all day long. And so times are different now. There's computers everywhere. And if you listen to my last podcast and we talk about equity, some have, some don't. Where can we fix that? Please go back and listen to it. It's a challenging podcast. Today we're going to live in Utopiaville, where everybody does have that computer in their classroom that they can use. Or maybe not, but maybe just to think on change. What can you do differently? A personal example for me was discovering the flipped classroom. And again, not to bring up an equity issue, but the flipped classroom is a situation where the students get their lesson at home via internet. And then once they get that lesson at home via internet, they come back to the classroom the next day and they work their homework problems in the classroom with the teacher. That's a significant change from how I was originally teaching for so many years. And it marked a change in my education of truly trying to work to meet the students where the students were. And that's hard, because as a teacher, I really don't want to give up control in my classroom. I really don't. I want to keep all of the control just for me. And I want to be the person that all 37 pairs of eyeballs are on. I want to be the guy on the podium behind the lectern. That's what I wanted. And I was that way for a long time. And if you didn't do what I asked you to do, you know, when I asked you to do it, I was a grumper and it could be just a super jerk. And not saying that that's bad. You know, some people are great teachers and that's their mode. And I'm not trying to tear that down. But the change for me was moving into that flipped classroom where now the emphasis really wasn't on me anymore. It was on the actual learning in the classroom. And the ball for that learning was firmly placed into the students' hands. I did this in a school district where I had the means and the students had the means to participate in this activity. And I truly think that a flipped classroom can work in almost every environment. You would just have to think outside of the box on some of those things, but that's another podcast for another day. And so stepping into this flipped classroom experience for me gave me change, and oh my gosh, it fueled my passion. It fueled my passion so much, I cannot tell you. And that one decision of flipping my classroom has led me now to where I am now a PhD student at Oklahoma State University, working on a PhD in education with an emphasis in educational technology. That's what that one change has led to, a massive change. I don't teach in the high school classroom anymore, and I miss it a lot. I had great memories of the high school classroom, but I am so energized every day to do what I get to do and to study what I get to study and to actually think about education in a completely different way. And that one change led to all of this. And I'm not saying that you need to make a change that leads to some sort of drastic deal where you leave your classroom and become a candidate, you know, for entering graduate school at whatever level. I'm not saying that. But that might be what you need to do. I don't know. I'm just saying that change for me has been actually legitimately life-changing. And so if that thing changed for me and made such a difference in my life, imagine what a small change in your classroom could do, what kind of difference you can make in the lives of your students. One of my good friends who teaches in the school district where my children go had the very, very good fortune several years ago to receive grant money to go to England. And she went through a local grant community. I think it was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but a foundation approved her travel and gave her the ability to get to England. But here's why she went. She had arranged a meeting through Skype, I think it was through Skype, with a teacher in England, and she was middle school social studies, and she was teaching the Revolutionary War. So she Skyped with this teacher from England, which led to this teacher from England coming to the United States to teach her class in suburban Oklahoma City about the British view of the American Revolutionary War. Now, what a dynamic change in the way that lesson was taught. It's not taught on PowerPoint, it's not taught on chalkboard, it's not taught in textbook, but it's taught through viewpoint, a completely different view of the American Revolutionary War. The next year, my friend had the opportunity then to go to England and to teach the students over there the view of the American Revolutionary War from the view of the United States. And so these students in these two classes in consecutive years had the most amazing opportunities to truly learn about different points of view, and it took was a small change in how that lesson was administered. And that was several years ago. With Skype and Google Hangouts and the different collaborative tools that are available to us now, you can recreate that whole scenario without ever leaving your classroom, but by opening up the entire world. So imagine how dynamic your lesson could be about some piece of, in English class, if you're talking about, you know, Shakespeare and the Globe Theater. What if you could actually reach out and make contact with somebody that works at Globe Theater, and you're able to do a Google Hangout with them and bring in these elements of Globe Theater and why it is so cool and why it is so unique, and can talk about, you know, as an authority from the English view of Shakespeare, which when we teach Shakespeare in the United States, we are going to put an American view on it. That's our view. That's how we were raised. So imagine getting that view from a native of Shakespeare's country. I don't know. I know he wouldn't be a contemporary of Shakespeare, but imagine the change then in your lesson. And that's just using a little bit of educational technology. And you may have to think ahead a little bit, or think about the change that could happen if you allow the students to walk in, and instead of you having your preset lesson loaded, ready to go on PowerPoint, what if you came in and the students were to respond to the teaching for that day. The students all walk in with a "here's where I got stuck" question, and they wrote it on your board, and then your lesson for that day was developed on the spot from those questions. And I'm not saying you could do that every single day. That would be very challenging. But what can you change in your practice? What can you change in a lesson? What can you change in your thinking that can open the world up for your students? Are you letting your students create artifacts to document their learning and to show you what they know? Or are you just requiring them to like fill in some bubble sheets and things like that? And I know this is a tricky question, because when you're taking all these assessments that we have to take into account, and the students have to know how to take an assessment, they have to know how to bubble, I get that. But when I flipped my classroom, I didn't emphasize testing. I was trying to get the students to learn and understand and grow as students. And you know what? They resisted. It was tough. But in the end, there was a lot of growth there. And all of my students did perfectly fine on the standardized math test that they had to take at the end of the year. They did fine. And we did not prep for it. We spent almost zero time prepping for that. And so teaching is teaching. And you know what? Sometimes when you make a change, your lesson is going to fail big time. But even in the process of failure, you're learning. And if your students can see failure and understand that it's not the end, but it's a beginning, how amazing would that be? How about that little change, where a fail is not the end, a fail is a beginning, where they can start again, fresh, and move towards showing you what they know. So think about that this year as you're getting started and settling back into your schools, trying to learn all those kiddos' names and do what you do as amazing people teaching. Try and think about that. What change can you make? Just one small change. You don't have to change everything, but what one small thing can you do? And by making that one small change, imagine the impact it can have on the lives of your kids. Thanks for listening to The Drive today. I appreciate that you take time out of your busy schedule to do that. If you have comments or questions, or if there's something that you want to talk about, let me know. Just drop me a note or tweet me at Teach From Here. And continue to do amazing things, because whether you know it or not, you're impacting lives already, and you're the change agent that a lot of students need to see, because they look up to you, and whether you know it or not, they are inspired by you. So keep working hard, keep being amazing, and thanks for listening to The Drive.